is a parable, one parable, in four parts. And this whole parable is about the answer to their cruel and cold criticism, that the Lord would receive and welcome and love and eat with sinners. So the Lord's going to give them a parable to illustrate the heart of God. That's what this is. This is the heart of God. He's going to reveal their heart in the elder son. But God's heart toward the sinner is here. He says in verse 4, he spake a parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Every time he finds it. When he found it. Every time he finds it. When he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. Is he mad? Is he scolding that sheep? Is he beating that sheep? No. Because the sheep was going after its own nature, and he knew that. And his heart was set on the sheep. He would not be denied. And when he was, when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. For I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, did not light a candle and sweep the house diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Here's the most popular one. He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me portion of goods that falleth to me. Divided unto them is living. Unto them, not just the younger one, to both of them. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, you got to keep in mind, the Lord's not wasting time. He is meticulous with perfection in anything he illustrates. He's using the most perfect illustration could ever be used right here. This is called the most beautiful story in all the Bible. Amen. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him unto his fields to feed swine. And he got lost out in the Gentile world. He would fain fill his belly with a husk of swine to eat. No man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and a spare, and I suffer with hunger. Then he says, I'll rise and go to my father. Here's the rest of that story. When he gets home, when he's way down the road, here comes his father running. Oriental men did not run. An old man does not run, especially in that society. But he runs to his son who was returning home. And in spite of all of the dirtiness, the smell of his son, he grabbed him, he embraced him and kissed him over and over again. For this my son was lost, is found. He was dead and he's alive. And they began to be merry. His elder son, the Pharisee, the scribe, the religionist, heard the celebration going on in the house. He said, what's going on? He said, well, your brother's returned from the far country. And you mean the one that's devoured his living with harlots? And he would not go in. So the father comes out and entreats him and says, this is your brother. He was dead and he's alive. He was lost and he's found. He said, why are you not celebrating with your brother? He said, how many times have I served you? I've served you all these years. You've never had a party for me. You never had a celebration for me. And he's angry and jealous at the love of the father for the wayward son instead of rejoicing. He said, son, all that I have is thine. Why should we not rejoice? Should we not be merry? Because your son is alive and he's restored. So the Lord is showing the heart of God and the heart of these Pharisees and these scribes who have no love whatsoever for the lost person. No mercy for the one that's deep in sin. No love for the one that's in the ditch. What those Pharisees didn't know, they're in a ditch deeper. That prodigal son knew what he was. That elder son was too proud to confess what he was. One was a wayward sinner. One was a religious sinner. Had fallen into debauchery of righteousness. And it's a whole lot easier to win a man from debauchery than one from self-righteousness. So here's this parable. Number one's the lost sheep, the lost silver, the lost prodigal son, and the lost elder brother, or the lost elder son. There's not one lost son, there's two lost sons. And the Lord's making that division in the human race. There's religious sinners and wicked sinners. And so the parable is moving from the lost sheep to the lost coin to the prodigal son and then to the elder brother. What's Christ trying to get them to see? He's trying to get them to see themselves in this elder brother. Oh, you want to offend a fair? No, they're. You won't defend somebody self-righteous? Let them know their works can't save them. Let them know that exclusively Christ is the only way. The parable, though it's given in response to the criticism of these scribes and Pharisees, verse 2 again, they murmured saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. These are words of derision and words of contempt, but they revealed their heart. That revealed their heart. They wanted to go to heaven and nobody else with them. They wanted to be that one that everybody looks to and brags on. They've one thing, well, to brag on, that's Christ. Amen. What a glorious testimony that God saves sinners. What a testimony that the Lord goes after them. What a testimony that he knows how to find them. He searched until he found them. Now notice this. In answer to their criticism, he said, I want to show you in this story the man whom you despise. I want to tell you the story of the man that you hate because he received sinners. I want to show you the man that's got a love for those that are unlovable. Of course, Christ is talking about himself. He is the shepherd. And the Holy Ghost is the woman seeking in the house. And God the Father is the one waiting on that boy to come home. And the Lord is involving all of the Godhead into this great story. Look, the first aspect, the shepherd is seeking the lost sheep. The lost coin illustrates another aspect of the gospel. That one that's lost in the house, lost in the church. That lost sheep was lost in the desert, in the wilderness. But the lost coin was lost in the church. And it took a lot of sweeping to find that lost church member. That's what this is all about. The lost son shows one aspect of sin. And then the lost coin shows another aspect of sin. But what we see in this parable is what it means to be lost. And what it means to be found. And what it means that the one that finds us goes home to heaven rejoicing. In verse number 5, when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders rejoicing. Why? Because that sheep is so weary and tired, it's not able to walk on its own. Carried it. As like some of y'all, you talk about the same way with me. When God saved me, it's like God carried me. to the altar. I still remember, I didn't know how I got there. I just knowed I got there. The first aspect of the parable deals here with this lost sheep. What a picture of lostness. It's called waywardness and the weakness of the human nature, the old nature. We are prone to wander. We are prone to stray. From the cradle to the grave, from the womb to the tomb, we stray. We go our own way unless he comes and finds us and puts us on his shoulder and carries us. The lost sheep is bleeding away off in the distance. But the shepherd has an ear for the sheep's call. That cry of distress, the shepherd always hears it. That cry for God, he always hears it. It doesn't matter how you pray, it don't matter what you say. He hears your heart because he hears your cry of desperation and trust in him. The sheep, his conscience, that something's wrong. But it never comprehends the real danger and seriousness of being lost. At the end, it knows it can't find its way back to the shepherd or the sheepfold. It can try, but it can't find its way back. But that sheep never understood the real danger it was in. But when you get saved by the grace of God, you understand somewhat of the danger you were in. And it melts your heart in praise and in worship. I cannot find my way back home. That's what it means to be a sinner. That's what it means to be lost. In the story of the lost coin, the picture has a different emphasis. What does a coin bear? It bears the image when it's minted. Stamped on that coin is the superscription of a king. But that image in man has been so marred, it is hard to recognize the image of God in fallen man. Yet, we see here how the whole purpose of the coin is lost because it's out of circulation. What good's $100 if you can't find it? What good's $1,000 if you can't find it? What good's a coin if you can't find it? And the very reason and purpose that it was made has been lost. And without God, I'm not preaching on this. This might be next Sunday. But the whole purpose that God minted us in creation in the image of God has been lost. And if you live your life without God, it's been a waste. Because you're living for the temporary. You're not laying up for the eternal. It's the eternal that God puts in us that makes all the difference. The lost coin is innate. The sheep can bleat. The coin can't cry out. It is motionless. It is inactive. It is lifeless. It is unable to do anything about itself. That's why each of these aspects of this parable reveals a different aspect of what it means to be lost. If the coin's lost, it's lost in the dirt. That speaks of depravity. If it's lost, it's in the darkness. That's another aspect of what it means to be lost. It doesn't just mean how that your value and your purpose is not being in circulation and you're not being used for the glory of God, but we're in darkness to spiritual things. And the coin cannot bring itself back to circulation. Thank God it needs somebody from the outside to pick it up. Can't find itself. Can't restore itself. Somebody from the outside's got to find that coin and restore it to its purpose. It's called an outside power. When you come to the two lost sons, you see another aspect of what this is. What it is the lost sheep and the lost coin is verbalizing with an animal and with an object, these two brothers. And really the aspect of being lost. What is that lost sheep wandering from the fold? It's the prodigal son. What's that lost coin? Lost in the house, brother. This parable is all about. The prodigal son is filled with rebellion. He's determined to have his way. He is determined to do what he wants. He's determined to rebel against all that has been taught. It's rebellion and revolt. And he's determined that nothing is going to stop him. Breaking daddy's heart. Where's his mother in this story? She ain't there because this is about God the Father. He ain't got a wife. This is about God the Father here. Well, he don't care he breaks his father's heart. That's of no concern to him. That never enters his mind. He don't understand what he's doing. His father, Isaiah 53, verse 6, this is the prodigal son. All we like to have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Don't you thank God the story doesn't end right there? God ought to wipe us out and write us off. But if you get in his heart, he ain't going to do that. When you look at these four stories, you see an illustration of the combined activity of the triune God. You see Jesus Christ as that lost sheep seeking until he finds it and suffering on the behalf of that little sheep. He passes through the darkness and goes through the dark waters. He faces the risk and the laying down of his own life to find that which is lost. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. God, God knows what he's going to do. God knows who he's going to save. He laid down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life to save the sheep. Now, we're not talking about time here. We're talking about eternity here. There is no past eternity with God, and there's no future eternity with God. There is us. We dwell with time. We dwell with our responsibility. When we look at salvation, it's all about our choice. It's about our decision. It's about whether we'll go with God. We ain't talking about that in this parable. We're talking about God's point of view. We're talking about eternity's point of view. Everything with God is right now. Everything's right in front of him. Everything's ever happened in the past is right in front of him. Everything that happened in the future is right in front of him. That's how he knows everything. Notice the lost going. That's Holy Ghost through the church. Unrelenting activity until the lost coin is recovered. That's where we come in. That is the importance of us living for God and not backing down and not goofing off, but staying with it so that lost coin can be found by the sweeping, by the preaching of the Word of God through the men that do it. Notice here, the blessed Holy Ghost recovered a lost coin. He brooded in creation. He brooded over the darkness and the chaos. And he's the one Christ said, let there be light, and there was light. And the Holy Ghost put the power into what Christ said. And the Spirit of God is brooding over you and over me when we're lost. I'm done without God. And he knows when it's ready for Christ to speak, my sheep, hear my voice. You say, God ain't spoke to me. Well, when he does, you'll know it's him. You may not know it at first, but you will. Never a man speak like this man. The woman in the house is searching for the lost coin, shows relentless, effectual work of the Holy Ghost on the hearts and minds and lives of those that he draws to Christ. He comes to us restoring our usefulness. We've always been valuable to him, but we were not useful to him. Always valuable, but not always useful. He gives us a sense of purpose when he saves us by grace. Our life was aimless, purposeless, but Christ saves us and gives us a reason to live and a purpose to live. When you come to the last story, it's the Father. Never a day passed. He wasn't looking down that road. Oh, he knew that boy was coming home. That's why he's looking. It ain't a question if, it's just when. And of course, God knows when he's coming home. So we see the picture of this father running and panting out of breath because he had run a long time. They so moved him, he can't act dignified no more. Love will make you act undignified. There ain't nothing sillier than two people in love. You know that, I know that. And there's nothing make you do things what love will. Christ is telling the story how the Father loves us. So, salvation is the activity of all three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I would to God some of y'all get excited about this thing. This is in my heart. Hey, I was that one lost sheep. I was that one about to die. I was that one he came to rescue. Thank God Almighty for his seeking and searching power. Satan don't want you enjoying this. He wants you to just pout, sire up. Hey, ain't nothing in this world ought to excite us like these stories. Because he's a coming for us. It is the unbelief and the hatred of the Pharisees who were the religious leaders against Christ. He gives this answer, that whole cold, harsh contempt of the scribe and the Pharisee. The contrast could not be greater. The light and the darkness. Oh, Lord God Almighty. Here's Jesus Christ in verse 7. I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven. Not just Christ, all of heaven rejoices. When one sinner, you think they're rejoicing? If that sheep can get lost again, are you listening to me? They're rejoicing because that sheep's been found. They know losing that sheep. Lord God Almighty, why would we ever disgrace God like that? You got lost, you never got found. They're rejoicing over the found sheep. Not one's going to be lost again. Likewise, joy shall be in heaven. Thank God one, just one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. What's contrast? Verse 28. He was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. You know what that boy wanted to hear? Brother's dead. You know what he wanted to hear? He's buried. You know what he wanted to hear? He had never come back home. Oh, the Lord's using this elder brother to describe the Pharisee and the scribe. That ought to speak volumes to us. There's not a scribe or Pharisee didn't know Psalm 23. They knew the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. They understood time to time God called the preacher, the prophet, the king, the shepherd. He also rebuked those shepherds that scattered the flock, that didn't love the flock, that didn't feed the flock. In Jeremiah 23 verse 1, so they're well familiar with this imagery of the shepherd. Oh, thank God Christ, very few times called himself the Son of Man. Hardly ever called himself the Son of God. But with like pride, he called himself the Good Shepherd. You know why? Because that reveals his saviorhood. That reveals the mercy in the heart of God. Deity by itself can only damn me. I need a Lord, but I need a Savior. I need a God that's perfect and hates sin, but I need a God that loves sinners. And this is the story. Oh, these shepherds had no affection and no love for the people. Their attitude was evident throughout the Lord's ministry. What did they do in John 9? They badger this old boy who was born blind. And the Lord healed him. And they're wanting to know, how in the world did you see? He's trying to give credit to Christ. And they call Christ the devil. They said, this man is a sinner. And there's no way that's who healed you. He said, all I know, this man named Jesus come by. I was blind, but now I see. And they threatened him to kick him out of the synagogue. What about John 5? The impotent man at the pool of Bethesda. Couldn't get up, couldn't walk, but Christ healed him. And he got up, took up his bed, and went walking home. And they criticized the Lord for healing on the Sabbath. They criticized this man for picking up his bed on the Sabbath. That's self-righteous religion. Harsh, cruel, vindictive, full of arrogance and pride. Oh, they're in every church. They're the ones with their nose stuck up in the air. Think they're better than everybody else. Hope they, none of them here, I hope we're the exception to that. Huh. So in contrast to this, here we get to the story right quick. Introduction's long in the sermon. Here we see the shepherd discovers his loss. Every day at sundown, they counted the sheep. When they went through the door, that shepherd laid down and watched the door, but they went in through the opening. That night he discovered that one sheep was lost. Now, there's no time to be lost, because that sheep ain't going to last if he delays. There's a time element that this sheep must be found. And there's a time element in your life for you to be found. In verse 4, we see the period of the search. The shepherd leaves the 99 saving the fold and goes after that one that was lost. Here's a shepherd with a flock of 100. He's lost one. Now he's still got 99, but he's not satisfied. Why? Because that sheep belongs to him. He don't go after that sheep just for the sheep's sake. That sheep is his. That sheep belongs to him. Hey, man, that's why he goes after that to rescue. That this word lost occurs in all three stories. Talking about something valuable being lost. The sheep's valuable, the corn's valuable, and the sons are valuable. The sheep is lost. It belongs to the shepherd. It's of great value to the shepherd. It doesn't mean nothing to a hireling. He doesn't send a hireling to find that sheep because he won't find it. He'll go out there and look for a while and he'll come back because he ain't interested in that one lost sheep, but that shepherd loves it. It's a wonderful thing to be wanted, to be so desperately wanted that someone would risk their health and their life and their livelihood to come and find you, especially when that person that deliberately wants us, seeks us, is God himself. So here's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in active work of finding that lost sheep. The shepherd knew what it was like for the timid sheep to be lost. The sheep didn't. That sheep wandered a long time before it even knew it was lost. It's out there thinking the grass is greener on the other side, another lie of the devil. That little old sheep found an opening in the hedge and got through that hedge, and it walks a while, it eats a while, and then the sun's going down, and darkness moves in, danger moves in, and then shake panic and in fear. And a sheep, when danger comes, like a lion would come, or a bear, a dog would come to attack a sheep, a lot of times they'll die of fear before the sheep ever gets there. And the shepherd knows that. You might be having fun right now. Darkness is coming. Danger's coming. Hell's coming. The Lord knows all that. So here's a sheep aiming, wandering aimlessly down the slopes of the valley. And the distance between the little old sheep and the shepherd is getting farther by the minute. It's getting farther and farther and farther away. I was lost 6,000 at least years ago. I was lost in Adam. And man's been getting farther and farther away from God in the process. You know what sheep has? They've got a blind ignorance. They've got no clue, no regard to what they're doing. That's us. We're born with this fallen state that rebels and flees from God and flees from the truth. God get to bothering us, we'll start running from it. We'll start fleeing. There's a lot of people that's come to this church, and I love all of them. I don't know all of them. But some of them can't stand it long. They got to run. Why? Because that truth's too hard. They either got to get in or get out, and they run and they flee. I just pray the shepherd's got them in his heart, because I know what that means. Amen. The sheep never intended to be lost. It was simply taken up with the immediate gratification of its hunger, of its flesh. Is that not us? We didn't mean to be lost. We didn't mean to get out there where the lions will attack us. We didn't mean to get out there where we got become addicts. We didn't mean to get out there where we destroyed our health. We didn't mean to get out there where our life would be cut short. But it was that instant gratification of the flesh that started it all. There's not a hedge, there's not a fence, there's not a wall big enough. If that sheep finds an opening in that hedge, it's going to take it. It starts out eating grass. Eating grass. So simple. Then that seems so harmless. But it's eating grass and getting away from the shepherd. It's getting farther and farther away. And the thing is, it can't find its way back. Is that not the propensity of the human nature? Hey, the flesh will never be satisfied. No matter how far you go, it'll always try to take you farther. Then when you get out there, you drunk all the liquor you can drink, and all run around you can do, then it'll make you proud. It'll give you false peace. Oh, yeah. And you quit drinking and think you got saved just because you quit drinking. Is that not the flesh? You go from a wicked sinner to a religious sinner all of a sudden. No, the flesh is deceptive. Oh, we want to give ourselves this is temporary. And we year after year after year after year, we cannot believe how far that we go from God. Then we get entangled. That sheep gets out there and gets entangled in the briars and the thorns and cannot get free. If it can find its way back, can't get back. If that sheep falls over and gets cast, it can't get up. It's got to have the shepherd in order to get back on his feet. Oh, the shepherd knows time is of the essence. Therefore, he goes to seek that lost. God, it wasn't just the pity and compassion of that sheep suffering. That was his sheep. And his name's on the line. Although Christ said, of those thou hast given me, I have lost none. I have lost none. Thank God. Hallelujah. I have lost none. He ain't losing none. If you belong to him, he ain't losing none. Glory to his name. Heaven bound with a hammer down, I have lost none. Boy, the Holy Ghost touches me to say that. My confidence ain't in me. It's in him. I'm on his shoulder. Thank God. Till he gets me to heaven, I'm on his shoulder. John 10. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And I'm known of mine. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. And they don't follow him. He'll break their legs till they learn to follow him. He said, other sheep have I? No, this fold, that's Israel. Those I must bring, they shall hear my voice and be one fold. That's the New Testament church. When the Israelites saved by grace in the church age and the Gentile are in one fold. Amen. He knows where you are. He knows where you've been. He knows everything about you. But when he gets in that seeking business, none of that bothers him. None of that will deter him. None of that will sway him backwards. Thank God he's committed. Christ is consumed when he goes after that sheep. We're talking about God's point of view here. We ain't talking about ours. We're talking about his. And his is what counts. He knows our trials. He knows our difficulties. He knows our down settings, our uprisings. Oh, the wealth of a Bible shepherd is seen in this. If you go to a shepherd, man, I hate that I knocked all that mixed drink, that little lemon juice and water off. Lord God. Oh, I felt like throwing that bullpen. I'd hurt somebody. You ask a shepherd, they're nomads. Some of them had homes, a lot of them didn't. Brother Chad, you ask a nomad, shepherd, what's your wealth? Brother Terry, ask him, what's his wealth? He won't say coins, and he won't say houses, and he won't say lands. He said, my wealth is my flock. My wealth is what I own. God, Christ, spoke, and the universe appeared. That ain't his wealth. He could do that in another second if he wanted to. That ain't his wealth. What is the wealth of Christ? It's his people. What is the heritage of the Lord? What brings him the most glory? The inheritance is his people. He said the Lord's portion is his people. He said, you're my jewels. When I make up my kingdom, my family, when I come back, I'll spare you as a man spares his only son. So the shepherd goes out in the heat and the cold, the rain, the elements, to rescue this lost sheep. In the upper room, Christ said he loved his own that were in the world, and he loved them unto the end. He never quit loving them. He revealed his love when he bowed down before them and washed their feet. He said, not only am I willing to wash your feet, thank God I'm going to the garden. And then I'm going to Pilate's judgment hall. Then I'm going to Mount Calvary. Then I'm going to be put in an empty tomb. And I'm coming with. That's how much Christ loves us. He is the good shepherd. You know what the glory of the Christian gospel is? The glory of it is the seeking, suffering, searching Savior. That's the glory. Thank you, brother. It's manifested by that glorious salvation that the Lord gives us. Well, the Holy Spirit calls, he equips the preacher to preach and the saints to pray and live for God. He lets us get involved in seeking that lost sheep. In his mercy, grace, and salvation, the apostle Paul's in Corinth. He's been beat to a bloody pulp in other places. He is so marred that he doesn't want to go through that again. And they're so hostile. He's ready to leave. Christ said, Paul, don't hold your peace. Preach on, son. I'm not going to let anybody in this city harm you, for I have much people in this city. They don't even know there is people yet, but they are to him, because he knows where they are. He knows who's going to be saved. Amen. In eternity past, because there's no eternity past with God. God, you can't explain this stuff. God took in consideration whatever he did. How did God get his sheep? How did the Father give Christ his sheep? How's all this possible? Well, I know one thing. I know what God said about us. What did he tell the children of Israel? If you obey me, I'm going to bless you and your offspring. He said, if you'll obey me, I'm going to give you life and your offspring life. So it does matter how you live for your children. It does matter how you live for your offspring. Because if you live right, you live right, you that's exactly what. So God takes these things into consideration. But when a sheep is a sheep, a sheep is a sheep. God taking all these things into consideration. I don't believe in arbitrary election. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. I don't believe in that. I believe there's a rhyme and reason what he did. And I don't think it's you. I don't think it's got anything to do with you. I think it's got to do with him and his people obeying him. That brings mercy and grace to others. And God knew all that. And God moves geographically. And God gives opportunity at different times. It can be received and it can be rejected. But the Lord told the Apostle Paul, hey, son, you keep on preaching. Because that sinner, I'm going to send that word like arrows in his heart. going to pierce his understanding and give him light and give him life. Because the Holy Ghost can get your heart, mind, and conscience. Preaching of his word finds the lost sheep. Right. How'd you get found? Somebody told you. When I say preaching, I'm not discounting witnessing. I'm not discounting reading books. I'm not discounting any way God used to get the gospel. But you got to get it somewhere. You wasn't born with that knowledge. You got to get it somewhere. God used somebody to get you the truth. God used somebody to get you. You said, I showed up in that church that Sunday morning. I didn't know how I got there. I know how you got there. You got there because a shepherd come after you. Only the Lord knows the influences he brings to bear on the sinner's heart and mind and life. The Lord Jesus searches in a definite way, in a diligent way, and in a determined way. That shepherd is not coming back empty-handed. Not when God gets his eyes on somebody. You say, well, Grandma prayed for me. Well, I guess God's going to hear Grandma's prayer then. Let's just put it down here where we can understand it. Let's get back in time so we can understand this thing. Daddy prayed for me. Mama prayed for me. Grandma prayed for me. Grandpa, hallelujah. I'm glad God put you on their heart. I'm glad God saved them so they could pray for you. It all goes back to God, don't it? Every bit of it goes back to God and his goodness and his grace. The shepherd is fully absorbed and consumed with what he's doing. Determined, diligent, and directed. He don't care how hard the way is. He don't care how dark the night is. It doesn't bother him the risk. Because he knew the risk forever come down here. Don't bother him how deep the valley is. He knows how deep it is. It doesn't bother him how much that lost sheep's going to cost him personally. Remember, he heard Christ who is telling this story. This isn't a preacher telling. It's Christ. And this is Christ. This is the thoughts of God and the wisdom of God to use this lost sheep. Christ is saying, I'm the good shepherd. And that's how you're to think of me. I'm the good shepherd that seeks till I find my sheep. Why? Because we're of such value to him. If any soul's going to be saved and brought from sin to grace, it's got to be the shepherd that does it. He seeks and pursues till he finds it. So you might as well quit running. God got you in his heart. I'm telling you, I believe his stuff. I believe some people get pricked in their conscience. They reject God. They reject conviction. They reject the guilt of their sin. But that call, my God. There is a call that's got power. And when that great effectual call goes out, it produces a result. I believe that. He seeks and pursues. He uses people in the search, but it's Christ behind it all. There's nothing mentioned about this sheep here. When it's lost, it doesn't state it, but it does it inadvertently. His heart's set on that sheep. He goes after it. Until he finds it. Who's the sheep? It's lost people. He goes after it till he finds it. Christ is never defeated in the search. He never, if he goes after you, he ain't coming back empty-handed. Now we're talking about, from that. Am I reading it right? Is that what he said? Then what does that mean? Searches till he finds it. And when he finds it, it ain't dead. He gets it before it's dead. He don't jerk sinners out of hell. He saves them before they get there. Christ is never defeated in his search. Oh, he didn't come in this world to suffer, bleed, and die in order to attempt to find somebody. Are you serious? This ain't no attempt. He's come to do business. Oh, thank God this morning I was thinking about somebody real near and dear to me. And I remember walking down the aisle of Ingalls over here. It's been years ago when God gave me such joy I couldn't hardly stand it. I thought I was going to get raptured over God saving somebody. life at all. I ain't never got away from that because God got that person in their heart, his heart. He came to save. His eyes are sharper than eagle's eyes. He watches. He listens. He waits. He pursues and never gives up. He is listening for that cry. Oh, that's the sinner's part. Sinner's part is just to cry out. The sinner can't save himself. The sinner can't get himself back. Just cry out. And when God shows you you're lost and going to hell, only Christ can save you, you cry out for Christ. That's all you can do. That's all you are to do. That's all that's necessary. Because if God made anything else more necessary, you couldn't do it. You're entangled in the thorns. You're cast. You cannot untangle yourself. You cannot set yourself free. That's why if Jesus, the Lord Jesus, Sister Kay, if the Lord Jesus really put somebody in your heart, why are you going to give up when he won't give up? Keep on praying. That's the attitude of the child of God when God puts somebody in your heart. Never give up. Me and Brother Andy's talking last night about his daddy. Sister Mildred, about your husband. You know why we never give up on him? Because God never give up on him. You think he come over here like he did Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? And all that's just in vain? Well, I'll tell you something. There wasn't nothing phony about that man. He was seeking the Savior. Thank you, Lord. I just remembered out here in his tent where it all happened. Seth, probably 15 years old, preaching on the lost sheep, I just remember. He got to crying. That shepherd called his little, Seth. That done something to Melvin that he never got over. Why? It gave him hope that night that God hadn't given up on him. He thought God had, he told me. He thought he missed his chance when he was about 18 years old. He said, God ain't going to deal with me no more. But that night, God gave him hope. That's why he come back. And before he left this world, he got cancer. And he said, I'm so ashamed that this is what it took. Now, I want to serve God, and I can't. I don't have time. But he sought him, didn't he? Amen. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Boy, it's true. Verse number 5. When he had found it, he laid on his shoulders rejoicing. When the seeking and the searching is over, the saving begins. It's one thing that he found you, Brother Michael. You still ain't home. You can't get home. He's got to put you on his shoulder. That poor little sheep so weary and exhausted. It ain't got enough strength. What's God do? It's called the grip of grace. That's what it's called. He reaches down with a grip. Yes, with power. Lays hold on that sheep. And turns that sheep loose from that entangles it. And thank God sets it on his shoulder and goes home with it. Sheep don't come without a struggle. A lot of them sheep, when that shepherd reaches down that grip of grace, they got so much fear and panic, they're still struggling. How many, some of y'all keep struggling, keep resisting? Some of y'all doing that right now. You're resisting the warnings of your conscience. You're resisting the warnings and the influence of your parents and your loved ones and your pastors and those, all they do is care about you, and you're struggling. When this world's trying to destroy you and sin's trying to destroy you, and your rib causes you to struggle. No. What's the key to this whole thing? Number one, the shepherd's determined. He's diligent. He's directed. Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you one thing, he can deliver. Oh, the shepherd lays hold of the sheep. He's got to grip it tightly or it's going to fall. You've seen that picture? The picture of the early church of Jesus Christ. The mural was that sheep on the shoulders of that shepherd. He got both hands on his feet, that sheep ain't going nowhere. Now, if that shepherd's got some power, boy, that's what Christ does when he rescues us. No matter how tired, weary, hopeless, and miserable you are, if you hear him coming, amen. There's no animal more dependent on a shepherd or a human being than a sheep is. That's why I use them. They never seem to be able to find their true self or their true identity until they're under the protection of a shepherd. A sheep must have a shepherd. Often when the Lord finds us, we're so tired and weary. Sin's costed us so much. Our health's gone. Everything, our family's gone. Our wealth is gone. But thank God he ain't gone. He comes and takes hold of us with a grip of grace that will not let us go. Shepherd, not only does he lead that sheep to the sheepfold, not only does he reach down with that grip, he lifts it up. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, but love, Christ, lifted me. He finds you. He puts his grip on you. He lifts you up. He puts you on his shoulders and carries you safely home. Christ carried the whole of our sins, the weight of our burdens, and all of our disappointments. He carried that on his shoulder before he ever put you on it. He couldn't put you on his shoulder till he carried your sin on his shoulder. He couldn't save you till he died for you. Amen. Thank God. Notice here, he didn't drive that sheep. He carried it with the tenderest of all care. In other words, he gave you the blessed Holy Ghost to tenderly comfort and take care of you. And I said this before, I say this in closing. Lord God, there is no scorning and rebuking that sheep. That's already been done. When God let that sheep know what it done. When God let that sheep know that it was lost, that's where the rebuking was. But when that old sheep back cries out for mercy, there is nothing but mercy. He comes home rejoicing. Christ rejoices for anybody does. Did y'all get that? Amen. The Lord's greatest joy is saving you. And you think after he died, suffered, he go, hey, let the devil have you. Are you crazy? What you cost him, you gonna let the devil have you? God have mercy. I can't serve a God like that. He comes home with rejoicing. And everybody sees him rejoicing. And them that don't, he sends out a whole punch bulletin. Everybody come. Little old sheep. One little old sheep. Yeah. Let's spend some money on food. Let's spend some money on preparation. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Send out the word. That which was lost is found. Amen. You know what that shepherd does to that sheep? Because that shepherd's got such a good attitude. He conveys rejoicing to that sheep. And that shepherd is so rejoicing that the sheep finally finds out how valuable it is to the shepherd. I'm telling you, dear people, I wish, Lord God, I could get it out like God put it in. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God's in the midst of thee. He's mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He'll rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. That shepherd come on singing. Part of rejoicing is singing. And Christ knows how to sing. And he knows all the songs. Because he's the one behind all the right ones. We need to transmit joy, not misery, to others. So the shepherd conveys joy to this sheep. The Lord said with the greatest joy, I am the good shepherd. Others said, he is the great shepherd. And then Simon Peter said, he is the chief shepherd. He's pleased. final scene, homecoming, Sister Lisa, you come. When he cometh home, he called together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep, which was lost. When you're saved by grace, you're saved by grace, but you can never get back where you were because you're his. He bought you. Verse 7, we see on the way home, he safely brings the sheep. Where does he bring the sheep? Where does he bring it? He brings it home, and he brings it somewhere else. What is home? Verse 7, I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven. That's where he takes it. He ain't getting that sheep. That sheep ain't getting off his shoulder till he gets to heaven. I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The believer can say, remember that song, going home? I'm going home. There's nothing in this world to hold me here. I got a glimpse of that heavenly shore. I might not quote that right. Thank God, I'm a going home. What good are the praises of heaven when a sinner repents because they belong to God? That's why. Amen and amen. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to complete it. Are you doing anything for the purpose God created you for? If you're not saved, you're not. You say, well, preacher, how about you ain't got to ask me how you going to know when it's time for you to get saved. You're going to know it because there is no answer to that. He's got a voice. There were 99 safely laid in the shelter of the fold. But one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Only the Lord knows the cost that it cost him to come after you. None of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep. His sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cries, sick and helpless and ready to die. So sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that marked out the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray. That's me. And that's you. Ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. So when the shepherd disencumbered that sheep, the thorns was put on him. He searched till he found us. Lord, thou hast here the 99, are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. Although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. All through the mountains, thunder riven up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gate of heaven, rejoice. I found my sheep, and the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. I ain't got to try to humiliate you, intimidate you up for nothing. If he's a drawing you, that means he's come for you, and you need to come to him. That's what you need to do. He makes this thing real. Some of y'all say, well, I've been waiting for God to save me. Then, hey, don't tell no lie now. If that draws on you, you act like you mean that. You give God a sinner, he'll give you a savior. You say, well, I don't feel like I should get saved today. Oh, but he's coming. He's coming. And when he does, it's going to be much more than you ever thought. You're going to appreciate it more. Some of y'all, Lord's holding back on you. You're going to appreciate him like you never would have because he knows exactly when to do it, how to do it, where to do it. Oh, thank God. Your mom and daddies are praying for you. And God's so determined he's going to come after you, he's going to be consumed with it. And he ain't backing down till he finds a sheep. The grip of grace, the lift of grace, the carrying of grace, the trip of grace, the destination of grace, it's all there. Let's stand our feet, we. Thank you, Sister Lisa, playing. So it's up to you now. It's up to you now. If you want Christ,